Hello, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to some cheeky extra bits extra where you bits. Come every day. I know you're here to catch up on the show, and we'll get to that.
Extra bits and tits.
Just bits.
Stop it.
Just bits, Rami. That's enough, Rami.
We're going to stop inviting him in after this.
I listened to
You're on a ban.
I listened to yesterday's podcast, and I must admit, we spent probably entirely too much time on tits.
Yeah.
So we need to move on.
Especially since I dropped it more than a week ago.
I did. I laughed.
Did you feel good?
I did, yes.
Yeah.
Now I think we need to move on.
There we do. Hey, today, a bit of a special podcast. We've got a special guest on today's podcast.
Oh, really?
Pete, I'm going to give you a listener's number. His name is John. Mm-hmm. He lives out in Spearwood. And we did a phone topic this morning off the back of where do you avoid going because of an ex?
Oh, yes.
All right.
Yes.
So you'll hear the full chat later in the podcast today.
Ex-mouth for me.
Exmouth.
Sorry, what?
I've never been to Exmouth, but
you're avoiding Exmouth because you have an ex there.
Well, yeah.
I think you're safe.
Do you know? Yeah, I think I'll be okay. I've never been to Exmouth.
Because that means you'll never get to swim with the whale sharks, and they're incredible.
Well, I'm hoping that she gets a job somewhere else so I can go to Exmouth.
Wow. I was taking a girlfriend to a place in Daylesford in Victoria, and I accidentally let it out that I'd taken a previous girlfriend to the same place.
Oh,
when I was here with Susie,
really well.
Wow. Well, for me, it's half of America because I fucked half of America.
Inappropriate.
I didn't think you could top tits again. But here we are. All right.
Which half, the red states or the blue states?
No, the red states. I like to do it in danger.
You would definitely be the red states for sure.
I love that you made out as if Rami was choosy. Or that he had any prerequisites of a partner.
Okay.
So we had America great again.
Let's get John on. We had so many callers that we couldn't get John on, but we have to get him on the podcast.
Okay,
the number's in. Here we go.
So it's John from Spearwood.
Oh, I want to know why Coburn Gateways.
But a bit of a twist for his story.
Oh, hang on.
Hello.
Hello, John. John in Spearwood. Hi, it's Pete, Matt, and Kimber, and the producers Rami and Karen. How are you?
G'day, John.
Yeah, good. Love the show, guys. Listen to it every morning.
Thanks, bud.
Thank you, mate.
Thanks for calling us. We're sorry we ran out of time this morning and couldn't throw you on, but we love that you're here with us in the podcast.
Glad you could have me.
So, John, we were talking this morning about places you can't go because of an ex, and that's why we're giving you a call. So hit us with it, mate. Why can't you go to Coburn Gateways anymore?
Yeah, so when I was 16, I had a girlfriend at the time, and we mutually broke up, but it was more she brought it on. But, yeah, we did mutually break up. I always still had a thing for her after that, but it's just, you know, when you're kids especially, because it's even more awkward because you're younger. So, yeah, I just could never. I knew that she worked in one of the center stalls. I just avoided it like the plague.
For how long did you avoid it for?
It was about 4 or 5 years. Okay. Yeah, it was a while. So if I had to go there, I would go. So, like, she worked in one of the center stalls. I would go to, like, one of the ends where I had to go. If I had to go the other side, I would go the long way around, like outside of the store to go to the other side because I just didn't want to have to walk past her.
So she's in one of those kiosks right that you have to walk past.
Right in the food court.
Yeah,
it's a
right.
Central part.
Oh, no.
Right next to Muffin Break. Yeah. Right.
Not Muffin Break.
It's got a Muffin Break.
Did you ever think to yourself, except for today, I'm having a great hair day, I look incredible, and today is the day I'm going to walk past my ex? Because you can still have that moment and then you own the shops again.
Well, yeah, you could, but I mean, I don't know, just because I didn't really live like next to, I lived next to it, but I was kind of in between that and like Phoenix Shopping Centre.
Oh, yeah,
so
but mate, I've been to Phoenix
there,
Shopping Centre. No one's picking Phoenix over COVID. Are you kidding me?
So, I mean, I always felt good walking through Phoenix Shopping Centre.
Yes. Straight stuff through Phoenix.
Yeah, because the only people at Phoenix Shopping Centre are your nan and her mate.
Yeah, that's it.
John,
but
can
Sorry,
I was going to ask, did your ex work at Sunglass Hut by any chance?
No, it wasn't Sunglass. It was one of them next to it, though.
Because I remembered I had an ex that worked at a Sunglass Hut in one of those middle kiosks. Exact same situation.
Right. But you know what? I really feel for centre management who are going, how come no one's coming to this incredible shopping centre that we've created? And they just don't know that people aren't rocking up because you've hooked up with everyone in store.
They thought it was the Coburn bottleneck. Turns out Rami's exes.
But on the upside, about 4 or 5 years went by. So we broke up in year 12, we broke up. And then about 4 or 5 years went by. And then the only reason why we did break up was because of our friend groups at the time kind of clashed and it was too hard. We went to different schools. So about 5 years on, I actually messaged her over Facebook and I said, hey, do you want to catch up? And then, long story short, that was 10 years ago. Now we're now married with a house and two kids.
Oh, yes, baby. Oh.
We love
goosebumps
that.
Wow. All around. None of us saw that coming.
Oh, yeah. And it's a real Montagues and the Capulets story is, as well, yeah. Isn't it? With the warring factions and everything. That's,
I love it.
Right. Yeah, that's it. And do you, we don't, those friend groups we have, neither of us are involved in those friend groups anymore. We completely changed our friends as well. So,
Oh my God, you two just strutting through Coburn Gateway hand in hand.
I mean, can you tell us the shop that she worked at? Is it still there?
Yeah, it's still there. She worked at Miss Maud.
If it's not a muffin break, it's a Miss Maud. Yeah, one or the other.
I think all those years without a princess cake.
Right.
Yeah. God. So does Coburn Gateway hold a special place in your relationship now?
Well, I mean, we go there all the time. And I go there every Saturday morning with my now 3-year-old. And we go there in the morning, we grab a smoothie. And it's just become our real local. So, like, yeah, we go there all the time. And she still loves all the food from Miss Maud as well, so we still go there, and it's nostalgic.
John, when's the 10th wedding anniversary?
Well, we got married in 2017, so we've only just coming up to our 5th. So, but we've been together for 12 years now.
Okay,
not too late to renew the vows.
Yeah, all right.
Still time.
Yeah. Well, my wife worked for Coburn Gateways in centre management. We know them very well. I'm thinking 10-year anniversary.
Miss Maud party. Miss Maud is a celebrant, is she?
I think so.
I mean, we'll make her one.
If she's still around.
Yeah.
Oh, John, thanks so much for joining our podcast, dude. That was a great story.
No, not a worry.
Legend.
Right, you too,
mate.
Even though we didn't
thanks
get time
so
to chat
amazing,
to him
John.
On air, John, I mean, it's fabulous.
That's
because we could never
story.
Have had that long
no.
chat.
Yeah, that's right.
Unless it was here.
No, he's a legend.
So
well done, John.
And that's what you get with Extra Bits. You get all the fun stuff. You get the great stuff.
Yeah. So true. We should get Carrot on air to plug it.
Yeah. Great idea. Yeah.
You'd be like, we've got a real life testimonial here.
Yeah, right there, right here.
I love how you said Carrot, not Rami, because I'll be like, Extra Bits and tits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you say it one more time, I'm genuinely going to ban you from coming back in.
Tits.
No.
He doesn't care.
What did you think he was going to do?
Could you imagine parenting this thing? This child is just... He's just
human.
Next level.
You're relegated to just being a thing.
He's next level. I love you, Ronnie.
All right. Hey, let's go. Yes,
what else is on? Yeah, what else is on? We had an exclusive, didn't we, on today's podcast?
Let me have a look. Hang on.
Yeah, we did.
Did we?
Are you talking about Mr. McGowan, the premier?
The premier. Oh, yes. Was he not on any other shows this morning?
Well, he released a little something to us.
He hasn't told that to anyone
else. He hasn't told anyone
else. That's so true. Yes. Okay. Well, you'll hear that coming up in the podcast. Jacques is back in The Simpsons. Who remembers Jacques?
I remember Jacques.
You remember Jacques?
Yeah, Tim Pinball.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Almost got between Marge and Homer. How could you? Mm. He's back. We'll tell you why and also discuss your favourite TV moments.
Yeah. I saw something weird on someone's car dash.
Mm-hmm.
Ew.
You said box a lot during that break.
I know, all I was really thinking about was junk.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Kara and I were like, oh, there's a new segment, Kimber's Box.
Kimber's Junk.
What's in Kimber's Box?
As if how's it hasn't been pitched before, along with Kimber's Big Ones, Kimber Has a Crack. I get it, guys. I'm the female on the show. Like, no one knew.
Oh, you're so radio.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, boss. Said boss, not box. Where do you avoid? Where you're avoiding because of an ex? Of course, we just had that great chat, but there's another call we'll get to as well. And Maddie hit us with a sketch this morning.
Oh, fixing the home crisis.
Yes,
incredible.
Rentals. Hard to get, but turns out you just need to look in places you weren't expecting.
And just, big ups for working the word rectum into a song.
Yeah,
my pleasure.
Pucker up, have a podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye.
He's the 30th Premier of our great state and Rockingham's favourite son. Please welcome Mark McGowan.
Premier Mark McGowan, what a pleasure to have you here in studio, sir. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me once again.
That's good.
It's nice to have you back. It's been a little while, and we know, look, we want you to know off the bat, we don't mind about your little furphy in Parliament. We've heard them say a lot worse, and we're okay with it.
Furphy starts with an F. Are you suggesting? Are you suggesting there's some link there between words?
Just an accident.
It was. I didn't actually say it to the Parliament. I said it to someone sitting next to me, and sadly, a microphone was on nearby. Mm. Someone heard it.
Hey, so, we you know, more than anyone relate. You know, what
you're
right. Like
you're right.
How
Very
have
good
you
to
been?
Know.
Like people of WA, you know, everyone's sort of feeling the pinch at the moment. That often comes back to you. How's it been going?
Oh, fine. Look, you know, in overall terms, compared to most places around the world, probably compared to anywhere, Western Australia's doing better. So, but there's pressures. I know there's cost of living pressures and housing pressures and so forth. Building as many houses as we can. We've got 30,000 under construction. You look around, there's cranes everywhere, apartment blocks and so forth, trying to catch up with demand. So the problems we have are of demand, you know, too much activity, so much activity that, you know, it's hard to keep up, but we're doing our best.
Mm. Premier, the... You know, there's a lot of things that are happening to people at the moment that are out of their control, right? And I guess people can only tighten their budgets and their belts so much. And I look at things like the rental crisis and go, there's so many properties out there that aren't being leased or aren't being filled because of things like Airbnb and so on and so forth. So what's your view on things like, I don't know, legislating for something like, hey, we're just going to can Airbnb in this state for a while and open those up to just standard rentals and get these people into homes?
Yeah, the idea has been put to me. We have had a look at it. It's complex because some people bought those properties on the basis that of a certain price, that they get a certain return, and Airbnb provides them with the return, which is higher than a rental. So you're actually, you know, interfering in some ways with some people's investment decisions. And those sorts of things are difficult to do. And also then some people might have a holiday place, say Airbnb. Sometimes if you say you're canning Airbnb, well then, you know, you're basically saying they have to rent out somewhere that was their holiday house. There's all those sorts of complications. It's not an easy thing to do. And then, you know, then they might want compensation. Then there might be agreements they're entered into, and then they might sue you. And yeah, so you see all the complications around it. But, you know, it would obviously make a difference if we were to do that. We just want to, you know, in the meantime, build as many houses as we can to take the pressure off the
problem. We've sometimes considered pulling up a bed here at the back of the boss's office. There's sort of like a sick bay that we could use, and I feel it's nice and soundproof.
It's great. We've got an oven and a kitchen on
it's
level 3 here.
Go ahead, mate. Subi's great.
It's bloody tough.
I had a meal here the other night, this great little Italian place. I can't quite remember its name. It does pizzas and so forth. And, yeah, great food around here. So, yeah, I might live in the back office here. That'd be good.
Well, speaking of great food, because we've thought you've had to do it quite tough lately. There's been a lot of serious issues going on.
That's where I think the F-bomb came from. You know, a lot of pent-up sort of stress and anxiety, and it's just not as free-flowing and easy at the moment.
It was the first time I've ever used it.
Sure it was. So,
My dad says I never used to swear until I had kids, and I'm like, come on, man.
What was the chances? The first time I ever used it, there's a microphone on nearby.
Well, look, you know, this is it. We just thought, and we've always had a great relationship with you. You've come in here for many years, and so we thought, you're doing it tough. It's hard to be the premier, and we sort of, I think you do maybe too, miss State Daddy. We miss the mark, the person, the people's man, the mark that we used to have. And so we thought the best way to try and get you to fill those boots again and feel the most mark you felt is to give you a kebab.
Oh, thank you.
We thought that the kebab would be
the producer, bring
the selling point, just to make you, like, you know, so you can stop wearing the suits if you want, whatever you need.
This delightful, thank you so much.
Delightful kebab.
Thank you.
Does it make you feel just holding it in your hands?
It brings back old memories.
Yeah.
but it's cold.
It is cold.
Would you believe it? Because I tell you what, you can't get in Subi at this time of the morning. A fresh, warm kebab.
A hot kebab.
If you could legislate for that, please. Like being able to get a kebab first thing in the morning, that'd be quite nice, to be honest.
This has lifted my spirits are soaring now. Right. I've got this kebab in my hand.
That would be the case. Yeah,
and you know what? We sprung for the lot too with extra meat. So, yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. Yep. Oh, that's great. Yeah. So I can heat this up later. You didn't buy it last week or something?
No. Definitely not.
hasn't been sitting on a bench out there for 2 weeks.
No, that's why it's cold. We had to get it last night. It was the only place. We got producer Kerrod to stay out on the booze all night and then go out and hit the kebab shop at 3 a.m. Yeah. So it's as fresh as we could get it.
So it's a normal night for him.
Yeah, he's 22. Yeah, he's got plenty of energy.
Kerrod, what sauce is in that kebab, by the way?
Sweet chili and sour cream.
Oh, is that good. Right?
Yeah, good. Yeah, I like them.
Hey, just quickly before we let you go, I think Kimber's got one final thing for
you. Look, Premier, I've said this to you before because I'm always suspicious that when you do come in and see us that within 48 hours you normally drop a bomb or something's going to come out. There'll be something in the news. And so I'm just giving you another opportunity. Do you want to share it with us? Is there something coming out before Friday that I can expect to happen in our state?
Well, there probably is. It'll be something I'm doing before Friday.
Because then once we've had you in, we can't get you back in time. Well, so I'm like, oh, is there something brewing? And then we'll be like,
sleep in that back office. Can get me in every time we do something.
Actually, that's not a bad idea.
Okay, sure. Premier, it's really good to see you. We're really looking forward to seeing what you do announce in the next couple of days, because no doubt it's going to happen. But enjoy your kebab, and we're looking forward to catching up with you again.
Thank you so much.
Maddie, you've been busily working away the last couple of hours, and you brought us some gold.
Well, the rental crisis, and you know, I am getting a little bit political this morning, and I used the metaphor of nature, the pearlfish that uses the sea cucumber. They've developed this relationship where the pearlfish just gives a little kiss around the nether regions of the sea cucumber. The sea cucumber opens up its bottom hole and the pearlfish goes in there and lives in there, basically renting a little area.
I like what you've done with the place.
Yeah, absolutely. It's snug.
When you spoke about this morning, the delicate little kisses that you did in the air.
But, you know, but then this on the, and of course, so nature is amazing. But in the serious world that we live in, where people are finding it really hard to find somewhere to live, and it seems like the gap between the haves and the have-nots is increasing daily, I thought, well, that really is a great metaphor for life, that someone has to live in the bum of another.
Oh, no, it's really hard to find a little rental. The prices they are asking for are mental. The right to have a home is fundamental, fundamental. Whoa. Waste time looking east, nowhere to live in the east. Whoa. Waste time looking west, I'm feeling like I need a rest. Oh. I'm praying for a niche, I'm looking out for a priest. Whoa. I need a friend to be, I need a friend to be there for me. Sea cucumber. Who'd have thought you'd be there when I'm in need? You opened up a spare room for me. Whoa, thank God for your rectum, my date in the ocean. I know you're thinking, how could I live like a tapeworm? I'm telling you, there's nowhere else I can turn. Landlords making money wearing blinkers, you sphincters. I know you're getting ahead with your investment. Ooh. I know you can up the rent, yeah, that's your prerogative. Ooh. As long as you're aware the effect of that knocks on. Ooh. Someone like me is left living in someone's colon. Sea cucumber.
I, for the first time, watched a Simpsons episode in about 10 years.
Oh, you mentioned the other day that you were like, you haven't seen it in ages and you should check it out.
Because it's on Disney Plus.
Right.
And so we had a Disney Plus subscription and we, you know, dive in there occasionally and have a bit of a look. And it popped up. But this was because I saw somebody else going off about it on Twitter.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I saw the name. I could not believe it. Because it's one of those moments in, I guess for me, my TV watching history, all the shows that I've watched over the last sort of 20, 30 years, that really sticks out to me. Do you remember a bloke by the name of Jacques?
Yes.
Right.
Yes, I do.
So Jacques appeared in one episode of The Simpsons back in the 90s.
Some of the characters that they created for just one ep were so incredible.
Incredible, right? Now, this guy was so incredible that he almost split up Marge and Homer. Right, so he was a bowling coach and Marge took up bowling. It was the one where Homer got Marge a bowling ball for her birthday.
Yes.
And I remember watching the television and seeing this bowling ball fall out of the gift box onto the cake.
Yeah.
And Marge was like, stuff you, I'm going to go and use this thing. And she met Jacques.
Your fingers are so slender, so feminine. They're far too tapered for the ball you're using. You need something lighter, more delicate. Call me Jacques.
And now this week, Jacques come back.
Bowling and life begin in the hips.
Oh. I'm like, no, Shark. Go away, Shark.
He's never really forgotten Marge.
It elicited these, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it, elicited these feelings of me. There's just this vitriol that this man could come in and ruin my favorite television family that I grew up watching. Mm-hmm. And he's back. I had this emotive sort of reaction to it. It was almost sickening. It was almost like I wanted to throw up seeing Jacques back on the television.
But you do remember those moments. Like, yeah. Like my dad's favorite character is Frank Grimes from The Simpsons, who was like Homer's enemy, who just hated Homer and it was just a complete nightmare and nearly blew up the plant.
He was in one episode as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he was just, some of them just stick with you. Like, I've got lots of those moments from Friends, I think.
Yes.
You know, like, yep. I think, you know, like Monica and Chandler getting together.
Oh, God, or the bed scene.
The bed scene.
When Monica appears out of nowhere.
Yeah, or, of course, you know, with Ross and Rachel, this classic.
We were on the break!
Oh, Jesus.
But
that's
there's plenty
that
of them that stay with you because they were really formative years.
What's that big TV moment that stuck with you? Rami, the producer, and you're back into this show at the moment.
Charmed.
Yeah, we thought we did laugh at you a bit when you said you were watching Charmed, and then you told me how many seasons there were, and I felt embarrassed.
Laugh all you want. 8 seasons. I'm up to season 3 right now, and it took me back to 10-year-old Rami. This is 2000, the year 2000.
Yep.
The final episode of season 3, one of the main characters, Prue, gets killed off.
Oh, God, spoiler. Still... Just when you got me back into the show about how much I'm going to love it.
All
now,
right, go on. Let's have a listen to this.
God.
No!
What are you?
Yeah.
Oh, God, what a roller coaster.
It's just chaotic.
And that sounded like a Power Rangers ad.
No. Before you say anything else, 2014, they did a review of the episode, and the reviewer said it's one of the best TV episodes of all time.
You know what you've just made me think of?
That reviewer really knows their stuff.
You know what you made me think of?
Well.
When Tommy the Green Ranger became the White Power Ranger.
Oh, yeah, that was game changer.
Oh, that was television at its best.
What's the big TV moment that stuck with you?
Belinda in Kensington, good morning. What's that big TV moment that stuck with you?
Good morning, guys. Mine is when Shane died in Home and Away.
Oh Angel.
We have a bit here. Have a listen to this.
What do we do? Oh, come on.
Oh, God, I know the audio sounds like it came from the 1800s.
Sorry, what was that, Belinda?
I was absolutely obsessed with him.
Oh, yeah.
Dieter Brummer was on all of our bedroom walls. He was in every magazine for I don't even know how long. It didn't matter what magazine you got, whether it was your mum bought it or you bought it.
How's the Throw Your Arms Around Me backing track, by the way? Penny and Parmelia, what is the big TV moment that stuck with you?
When Molly died in Country Practice.
Oh, we are going back a ways here. Gee. A Country Practice. Have a listen.
Molly!
That was it?
See, no actor wants that gig.
No, but it was the most saddest thing ever.
What happened to Molly? How did she die?
She had cancer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know it sounded like she was on a ride at the fairground at the time.
Right.
It was awful.
Jacob in Bankshire Grove. Bring us home, mate. What's that big TV moment?
That big TV moment, mate, would have to be the final ever episode of The Sopranos.
Oh, goodness.
Gee, it was huge.
Massive. Absolutely massive. It constantly comes up in lists of, like, top 10 great TV moments and stuff.
Try and remember the times that were good.
I did.
Yeah.
Well, it's true, I guess.
Jacob, wow. Good moment. How did that make you feel, mate? That's clearly stuck with you.
Oh, mate, it was one of the hardest, heartbreaking and also angsty moments of my life because I needed to know what happened next.
Yeah.
It was one of the few shows on IMDb even. It's 9.2 out of 10 and it's quite hard to get that rating on IMDb, but The Sopranos was a solid show for everyone. You know, sometimes you make choices on a bit of a whim. You know, you're living your life and every now and then you go, yeah, let's just be a bit reckless.
Uh-huh.
Let's just go with this, see what happens. And this is happening to a friend of mine that is, well, it's now become really inconvenient, if I'm honest, because okay. She started going to a gym. So she lives in Westminster, which is like near Balga, right next to Balga there. And she was going to a gym in Madeley, which was just a sweet little 7 kilometre drive to the gym. And everything was going swell until someone at the gym sort of took her fancy. They started to see each other working out now and then. It was all a bit of right. And and she went, oh, I reckon we could pursue this. And
What's pursue?
You know, he asked her out. They hooked up a couple of times. Uh-huh. And now she doesn't want anything to do with him. Right?
Why?
So, what happened? It just wasn't something she was really into, changed her mind and was like, I'm not keen, but had given the impression she was keen.
What a shame. He's fit. He's buff. He can bench 120. Wow.
Just because we're at the gym doesn't mean we're buff, but yeah. But, you know, she thought she was into him and then was like, I'm not into him.
Okay.
But now she feels super uncomfortable going to the gym, doesn't want to face him. She would be working out at the same time as him. So she changed her schedule and she now drives to the Perth CBD.
Yeah.
It's inconvenient
driving. It's very inconvenient.
To the city in that time of the morning.
The problem is in a gym, no matter which way you turn, you're always facing him, aren't you? Because there's mirrors everywhere.
Yes. Yeah. And there's no... And so she's up to 12 kilometres to get there now. and she went, look, the Perth CBD thing didn't work out for very long because it was not cool. And I said, why don't you just go back to Madeley? Like, it's been a month, it's been a couple of, you know, weeks.
No,
like,
it's awkward.
It doesn't. She's like, nope. So now she's going to Hillary's because she's got, because that's where her gym membership
is. So further?
14 kilometers.
Right, that's
she's
further.
She's doubled her gym drive just to avoid running into an ex, essentially. Mm-hmm. Right, which, and I don't want to, I mean, I have judged her because I'm like, this is stupid. You should be able to work out wherever you want and who cares about that guy? Like, get over it. However, I've been guilty of it myself.
Have you?
Well, I dated a guy for a long time. Well, I say a long time, a long enough, like over a year, and I was really quite into him. But he lived on Cambridge Street back here, just not far from work.
Around the corner.
Yeah. So I had to drive past his house every day after we broke up. And I hated driving past his house because you couldn't help but look in the driveway. Like, and every time I'd do it, like, as I was approaching that part of the street, I'd be like, don't look at his house, don't look at his house, don't look at his house. And I would always look left and look
you
at his
house. You can't help.
You can't help it. And if you see a car in the driveway, then your mind just starts going berserk. Yeah. Whose car is that? Yeah. Why? I mean, we're not even together anymore.
But you were still into him by the sounds of things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. It was just one of those, like, I think even if you're not into them,
yeah.
There's just... Sometimes when you've got to deal with an ex, you're like, I just want to avoid them altogether. I want just the ground to swallow them up. And it's like they never existed.
That's why I couldn't go to Belmont Forum for a while in my 20s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because an ex worked at Belmont Forum and they worked in one of the kiosks right in the middle.
Oh, so you can't even walk around.
You can't. There's nowhere you can possibly go in Belmont Forum to avoid this particular place. And it sucked because that's where quite often I would go with Nonna and Nonnal to go to the food court there for a cheeky $12 combination.
Yeah, right.
And no, I couldn't do that anymore. And come
all
to think of
it. All that sweet and sour pork you missed out on.
I don't think I've been to Belmont Forum in about 20 years. It's affected me that bad.
Honestly, I think it messes with you.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to tell my friend, no, don't be stupid, live your life. But I think there's a bunch of us that are doing this. Want to hear from you if you are going out of your way to avoid an ex. Darren in Rockingham, where can't you go anymore?
Garden City in Booragoon.
Oh, no. Garden City's a great shop, though. Why can't you go there?
I know. Oh, just we built a house close by and that's a local shopping centre, so it's just avoided.
Oh, no.
You know what sucks about that? Garden City's, like, it's a mecca. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. There's so much in there. It's so convenient.
Darren, how long ago did you split up?
About 5-6 years ago now.
Oh, God, and still no visits to the Garden City.
Yeah. I've only just started going back to Fremantle.
What's wrong with us? They just own us. Mix 94.5.